Gentlemen, start your engines.
This weekend, 33 drivers will compete in America's most competitive kart race. It's the Indy 500 in Indianapolis. It's been 100 years since the original drivers, 40 of them, lined up for that very first race. They were wearing leather helmets. Charles Learson is the author of the new book, Blood and Smoke, a true tale of mystery, mayhem, and the birth of the Indy 500. And he joins us to talk about this storied race. But first, tell us the story of how the Indy 500 began. What made them start this very first race?
Well, the race, from a car standpoint, a car racing standpoint, was all about danger. This speedway in Indianapolis had been open for 2 years before, and the crowds had been declining, and the place was faltering. And they pulled this out of their hat, a 500-mile race. No race had ever been this long before on a racetrack. And that was all about danger, because the longer you stayed on the track, the more chance there would be an accident.
Yeah.
And that's what excited people, and that's what drew people in. And everything turned around when they unveiled this magic number of 500. And from a faltering speedway, they suddenly had a huge success, with the town being turned upside down, and 70, 80, 90,000 people. We only have estimates to go on, packed the place. A lot of them came by horses, by the way, to see these cars. And it was a big hit, and it went on from there.
And we got to remember, we're talking about the cars of 1911. And so when you talk about danger, it really was very dangerous doing this race. I mean, remind us of what these cars were like.
Oh, it was insane to be involved in the sport. They were built high up off the ground. There were no windshields. There were no seat belts. As you mentioned, there were only leather and cloth helmets. There were no roll bars if the cars turned over. And boy, they did turn over, because the tires exploded in those days, and sometimes after only 5 or 10 miles, and the cars leaked oil. So they'd be out on a racetrack that was slippery, and the tires would explode, and they would turn over. It was so dangerous that these guys, the night before the race, they would often take up a collection for the next day's widows. It was like going into battle.
And there was dirty tactics as well. They were throwing things at each other.
Right. Some of them, on top of all that, would resort to throwing wrenches and nuts and bolts at each other as they came on by. They were desperate to win and out for the glory. And it's really, if you look back on it, it's kind of insane, because they were risking their lives for very little money.
Nothing. Yeah. Almost nothing.
Almost nothing.
What was in it for people like Henry Ford? I mean, was it important, as it is now? You know, Chevy tries to get their race cars out on the track. Was there the same kind of prestige at that point?
There was. Ford initially was involved in the auto racing business. He said, if you want to sell cars, you have to race them. He then sort of like backed out of it. Ford's genius was that he was the one guy that knew that cars were for the common man.
Yeah.
Everyone else was trying to market cars as an upscale luxury item that in 100 years ago cost $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, and on top of that, you had to get a chauffeur, everyone thought, to drive the car. But Ford had a whole different idea. He said, no, I'm going to sell a car in 1908 for like $800.
Yeah.
And then the price went down from there anyway. But the other cars were in the race just as it was a way to market cars to people that were still had horses, and to advertise the cars that way.
And maybe create that car culture, which still exists today, still
exactly.
persists today. All right, so the subtitle of your book is A True Tale of Mystery, Mayhem, and the Birth of the Indy 500. What is the mystery you're talking about?
Well, the mystery is a very basic one, is that we don't really know. We can't say for certain who won the first Indy 500. Now, the Speedway has their official winner, a man named Ray Haroon, who's on a postage stamp that just came out, and he's hailed as the winner. And
driving a Wasp.
Right, driving a car called the Marmon Wasp, right? And he may, in fact, be the winner, but there's just no way of knowing, because they didn't have the technology in those days to keep track of the running order. So within 5 or 10 minutes,
I see,
no one could tell who was first, second,
someone
third.
Someone could have lapped him.
Cars were going in and out of the pits with exploded tires. No one knew how long they were in the pits. Then they'd come out. No one was sure what lap they were on. It was insane. And then, on top of all that, at 240 miles, there was an accident, and you can find this on YouTube. The car spun out, went towards the judge's stand. All the judges ran for their lives, and for between 10 minutes and an hour, depending on which source.
Nobody was watching.
No one was watching the first Indy 500 officially. So by the end, you know, there was chaos, and they said, The PR guy from the Speedway said, well, that guy's ahead. And it was Ray Haroon in the last couple of laps. And Ray Haroon happened to be driving a car that was made in Indianapolis by a good buddy of the president of the Speedway, Carl Fisher, by some strange coincidence. And that was the car that the trophy was given to.
Well, this is ripe for a viral rumor that, say, Charlie Chaplin actually ran away with the first Indy 500.
Well, sure.
Well, but what speed were these cars topping out at? I mean, 500 miles in 1911 must have taken a really long time.
It took 6 hours and 42 minutes and 8 seconds.
Holy cow.
And today it takes about 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
But the thing is about car manufacturers and those in car racing is that these guys had the speed thing down a few years before they had the brakes thing down. So the brakes were like a Conestoga wagon kind of brakes.
I shouldn't be laughing. That's terrible.
Well, but they could go. The world record in 1911 was 141 miles an hour. At the Speedway, in this race, the average speed was 74 miles an hour, the lap speed, because it was very hard to turn. It was physically arduous. These guys would lose between 20 and 30 pounds in the course of a 500-mile race.
20 and 30 pounds?
Yes. Some of them weren't that big to begin with.
So they have to kind of like bulk up before they go out on the racetrack, or you would if you're skinny, you'd wear away to nothing.
Some of them bulked up with bourbon, yeah, to bolster their courage too. Yeah.
So obviously, no laws against drunk driving at that point.
No one was checking. No laws against too much of anything in 1911. Yeah.
What was it about the Indy 500? Is there something that was there present in that first race that is not present now in terms of the character of the Indy 500?
Well, I think it had a lot. It was kind of an irrational thing. You know, in the 80s, the guy who was president of the Speedway said, we don't know why the Indy 500 is such a big deal, but we just know it's a delicate formula and we don't want to mess with it. I mean, from the start, it's been kind of this irrational thing. It's not the first race on the IndyCar schedule. It's not the last one. It's not the championship. It's just one of those things. And today people go and they really don't even know or care who's in the race. I mean, they know Danica Patrick's in it, and they know the guy who won Dancing with the Stars is in it. And the guy who's married to Ashley Judd.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Well, see, but if you don't even know that. But there'll be 300,000 to 400,000 people there on Sunday watching this race. It's really just an excuse for a party. And that's what it was 100 years ago, too.
Well, the new book is called Blood and Smoke, A True Tale of Mystery, Mayhem, and the Birth of the Indy 500. Charlie Learson, thank you so much.
And as the checkered flag drops, Pat Flaherty in his Zinc special roars home a winner by 22 seconds. And his name goes into the record books of the 500.
Well, if the average speed of the first Indy 500 is about 74 miles per hour, that means a lot of people driving this weekend would have had a chance of winning the Indy 500. I bet you're going to top 74 miles an hour. But we are looking ahead to the Memorial Day weekend when many of you will be driving. Higher gas prices possibly might have changed the way you drive. We want you to go to our website at thetakeaway.org. We have an interactive map there created with reports by listeners like you. See what the gas prices are for other Takeaway listeners and how they're changing the way they drive. And of course, we also want to hear who you're remembering over this Memorial Day weekend. Who will you honor? And share your memories with us of those you've lost and those who have served. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Have a great Memorial Day weekend and a safe one. I'm Celeste Headlee. John Hockenberry will be back next week. This is Takeaway.